Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin. This week, a look at how Europe will increase its investments in its defense sector in the face of Russian expansionism and U.S. isolationism. One country in particular has an interesting perspective to share on this topic. It's been calling for a significant boost in EU defense spending for years and is now seeing that call somewhat heeded. I'm talking about Estonia. The Baltic nation, home to just over a million people, would be on the front lines, sharing a 300-kilometer border with Russia. It is the target of constant cyber attacks and other sabotage operations, and they've committed to bump up their defense spending to 5% of GDP by next year, well above the current NATO commitment of 2%. Well, we're happy to welcome Margus Tsahkna, Estonia's Minister of Foreign Affairs, to our program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for receiving me.
Well, before we start, let's set the scene here a little bit. The arrival of Donald Trump at the White House and his promise to find a quick resolution to the war in Ukraine has really changed the cards in Europe. Leaders on the continent will have to shoulder a much bigger burden when it comes to guaranteeing the bloc's security. And in early March, they presented a plan that would unlock over 800 billion euros for defense spending over the next 4 years. France 24's Brian Quinn has the details.
A call to arms as Europe faces its gravest security threat since the Second World War. The U.S. under President Donald Trump is stepping back from eight decades of security guarantees, Russia's invasion of Ukraine presenting what French President Emmanuel Macron calls an existential threat. The European Union is now scrambling to provide for its own defense, with a massive ramp-up in defense spending that European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen initially branded Rearm Europe.
Europe is ready to assume its responsibilities. Rearm Europe could mobilize close to 800 billion euros of defense expenditures for a safe and resilient Europe.
That figure includes a plan for the European Commission to borrow 150 billion euros it would then lend out to EU member states for the purchase of ammunition and advanced weapon systems. In a sign of the urgency felt in European capitals, the once fiscally frugal Berlin has done away with Germany's constitutional debt brake that had previously limited annual deficit spending to just a third of a percent of GDP. Its abandonment allows for now unlimited spending on security and defense. Experts expect that spending could reach as much as 600 billion euros over the coming decade. In the European countries that neighbor Russia, there is an added urgency. Nordic nations hosting military training exercises, the Baltics, former Soviet states, planning for defense spending to hit 5% of GDP in the coming years.
We should make sure that our defense system is good enough, that aggression doesn't want to cross the border or to test any NATO country. And I think it works. If we are strong enough, nobody wants to attack us.
But not everyone is fully on board. Italy and Spain in particular have taken issue with the Rearm Europe branding, arguing that ensuring security is about more than just buying weapons and must include bolstering energy infrastructure, supply chain logistics, and tech investments. Those arguments have pushed Brussels to rename the initiative Readiness 2030, a reference to the date by which European defense analysts believe Russia could have the capacity to attack a member state of NATO or the EU.
Minister Tsahkna, first off, the most crucial question on which all other questions will depend, how concerned are you that the Baltic states and Estonia could be the next target for Russia, and how long do you think you have to get ready for that eventuality?
I was defense minister of Estonia in 2016-17, and I saw the other side of our borders, NATO and European Union borders, 120,000 troops ready to go within 48 hours from the Russian side. And I can say that there is no, these troops are gone. They're dead. They have sent to Ukraine. And this is pretty empty, the other side of our borders from Russian side, because Russia is in Ukraine. They are heavily stuck. But what we see is that Russia is investing heavily to the infrastructure, even larger scale that they had before. And of course, Russia has a plan to relocate the troops maybe even the largest scale in the future, the other side of our borders. But we are not talking about the Estonian border. We are talking about the NATO and also the EU border. And be honest, if you compare the situation what we have right now to the situation what we had 2016-17, then now we have full and permanent location of NATO troops. We have invested heavily to our defense. And I think that even right now, if Putin would like to test NATO in our region, I think that the cost for him will be very high. But of course, we have a couple of years to prepare for the full-scale invasion capabilities to be ready for that. And for that, we have adopted already 2 years ago in Vilnius NATO summit, the regional defense plans. And as well, Finland and Sweden has joined to NATO as a full members. And this is the reason, not President Trump, but the reason that Russia is a threat and will remain a threat. And we have now the working security plans, defense plans to our region, why we increase our spendings up to 5% least from the next year. So all Europe needs to invest heavily within the next like 4 or 5 years. And now the question is whether the defense industry capabilities will come together with investments.
And in that context, what's your assessment of that plan presented in early March, initially called Rearm Europe, now rebranded Readiness 2030?
I would have been even more happy 10 years ago when actually Russia started the aggression against Ukraine 2014, that Europe and European Commission leader could have made these kind of announcements. But it's better to have it right now, but never in the future. But we are talking actually about the member states' decisions. Now the Commission is, changing the restrictions for the member states' budgets by 1.5% of GDP, out of balance for defense, but also 150 billion loans. But now what we need to have is the member states' decisions, as Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland, many others have decided to increase the defense spendings. So it's a good initiative. It's a very good like wake-up call for everybody. But now we need to act, and as we do.
Do you think that we need to even go even further, for example, reviewing the Growth and Stability Pact, which constrains budgets on a very sort of fundamental scale?
Absolutely, and the Estonian position has been very clear that if we are supporting our agriculture, we are supporting all the different areas, and we have never supported in a large scale defense from the European Union budget. So we need to start negotiate about that as well. I'm sure that the next period of the European Union budget, it must consist as well the solid amount of resources for defense. And why I'm talking about this, that you can easily see from the map that Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Finland, Poland, we are protecting Europe. We are protecting NATO. But we need as well that the European Union is sharing the burden, because this is a common thing. We take, and we are ready to take the first hit, absolutely. But we don't want to be the only ones who are investing heavily. Because we are not only protecting us, we are protecting all Europe, all NATO. And this is something we need to understand in European Union as well, not only in NATO.
There's this threat on your eastern border. It's existential. It can change, things that were tradition. And one of those traditions in Europe has been strong welfare policies. Can they be maintained in a context of increased defense spending?
Yes, of course, because, GDP figure is something that shows the real burden to your economy, your social affairs, your economy. GDP figure in Estonia is the same figure as in France or in Germany or in Spain. It's just measuring the pressure. But we can do as well pretty well on social affairs, education and so on. But without really working defense capabilities, everything else you can lose it very easily. And then you have no time to invest in a very short period. So we can handle that in Estonia, in Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, so all the others European countries as well. But I see the change as well from the mentality. Because even the war in Ukraine, the Russian aggression in Ukraine, we already pay for that as a taxpayers in European Union. So it's the cheapest way to invest for your own protection, to avoid everything what may come.
One very important aspect of defense is cyber defense. Estonia has faced numerous attacks over the years. It really all kickstarted in 2007 with one attack that lasted 22 days, which seems to have really spurred a mobilization in Estonia. All your nation's government services are digitized completely. What can we, other countries, learn from Estonia's experience in that regard?
Yes, indeed. Estonia has 99.8% of public services online, except marriage, because we still believe that people at least should meet once physically before getting married. But we are under heavy and constant cyber attacks on the public level and the private level. So I really call all the other member states to invest not only technologically, but also to educate your societies, your private sector, also to invest heavily to the capabilities. I can say, I think that not to be not only proud, but Estonia is one of the most developed country about the cybersecurity as well, because we are under heavy attacks, not only from Russia, but also North Korea, the public, the private different hackers. And as a sign of our quality and the level is that actually we are running already more than 20 years e-elections. And this year, we are going to use the mobile voting during our local elections. And this is, of course, very convenient for people and younger people. But also it's like the sign that we can protect from different top hackers and different bad countries our most valuable system, which is election systems online, on mobile applications. So we can only imagine that we may have all the weapons and all the armies in the world, but our societies are very harmful if we are losing internet, if we are losing digital services, if you are losing bankings, you know, everything like this. So I call all the governments and societies really to invest heavily, and also to invest heavily to people's knowledge, because this is something what we have done more than 20 years in Estonia.
And one last question, which relates to defense supply chains within NATO. Considering U.S. tariffs and the U.S. tariff threats, and in general, you know, we can talk about democratic backsliding in America, should Europe still maintain contracts with U.S. defense firms like Raytheon, for instance? What's the thinking on this?
Yeah, we have very strong transatlantic bond, and this relation is really strong, and stronger than ever after the Second World War. But be honest, this relation is now different as it was before, even 1 year ago. It means as well that Europe must understand that we have leverages. We have all the money in the world, I can say. We are the most wealthiest countries in the world. And the U.S. economy is dependent on us as well, when the other way around. And as we saw as well, that after President Trump introduced the second wave of tariffs, European Union was able to respond. And what we have right now is like 90 days pause on negotiations. As well, this is our decision finally as European countries, how much we are going to invest our defense money to U.S. Industries. But I think that we don't need this kind of tariffs war or some kind of division between Europe and U.S. because the main competitor is Russia and mainly China. So I think that let's use now our leverages, our strongness as well for that, to explain for U.S., but also to negotiate conditions for us that we need to keep together, because we are united. We are sharing the same values. We actually belong all to the NATO. We protect the same way of living and the values. So we just need to understand that Trump will respect if you are having the strong position and negotiating, not only, you know, asking that the U.S. must pay more. We must do our job.
Margus Tsahkna, you are the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Estonia. Thank you so much for speaking to us on France 24.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's all for this week. As always, you can watch all of our previous episodes on the France 24 app or subscribe to People in Profit wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for watching. Stay tuned to France 24. And as they say in Estonia, Huvasti.